Society in every state is a blessing, but government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil.
The future has already arrived.
Welcome into Surviving America, folks, the show where we stare America in the face and ask them, are you really prepared for the nation you're inheriting? Things have changed. Things are changing rapidly. And I guess that the old way of, you know, the stasis of old is not really cutting it anymore. You know, it's not really cutting it anymore. In many facets of life, in all facets of life, things have changed in a tremendous way. Big changes are still afoot. Now, I'm going to ask a question that's been on my mind for months now. A question that, you know, it's one of those sort of like, I don't want to call it a third rail. It's more of like a dark alley. There are questions in your life pertaining to your loved ones, pertaining to your nation, pertaining to yourself, that are these dark alleys that you know there's nothing but trouble should you go down there, or nothing but hard work that could be embarrassing or dangerous or whatever the situation is. But we all have these sort of dark alleyway questions that we like to avoid. This one will not sit well with the mainstream, but it is a question worth asking, and it's a question that you need to consider, that all Americans need to consider, really. And it is, what happens if they steal it again? What happens if, what happens if they steal the election again? Now, we are supposed to believe that, you know, 2020, everything was on the up and up. I've seen the documentaries, I've seen the footage, I've seen the questionable things that happened, but I'm supposed to trust the judges. Okay, I'm supposed to trust the audits and the 60 lawsuits, can no evidence and no evidence of widespread fraud. All that's good and well. Not necessarily. But now's the time for the... So, in other words, now's the time for you and I and everyone in the United States to wrap their head around what happens if, come December 1st, when they finally have counted up all the ballots, even though people... Oh, 19 million people have already voted. They're going to need a week and a half to count the votes, right? Because there's some, like... Oh, like, there's an old lady literally hand-counting all the ballots, right? Oh, well, when Gladys finishes up with the ballots in a month, we'll tell you who won for president. There is something to be said about perception, folks. You know? There is something to be said about perception. Now, I don't know if people care about the American people's perception anymore. I don't know if they care about how the election is perceived. I think what they care about is getting up on the television and saying everything is on the up and up, everything's fine, Donald Trump's still Hitler, and he lost. Yay, let's celebrate. It's late January 2025. Kamala Harris is president. Where are you? What are you doing? What are you changing? What have you changed? What will you change? Are you in the country? Have you moved from where you lived before to a new place to survive America? These are all questions that I'm not just asking you, but I'm asking me. I do think that the nation will be changed radically and fundamentally, maybe even down to its founding documents, if Kamala Harris gets in office. Not because Kamala Harris is going to change much of anything on her own. But I'm telling you, this is a dark alley question. And the and I have to talk about it because no one else is going to talk about it because it is scary. It is a scary topic to discuss. The mainstream media, you know, they would never admit, because they're a propaganda arm, they never would admit if an election was stolen to begin with. But if we wake up in late 2025 and Kamala Harris is president and we have to sit there and drink our coffee and say to ourselves, Kamala Harris beat Donald Trump, she beat Elon Musk, and she beat RFK Jr. with her and Tim Walz. I have to sit here in this country today and I have to say to myself that Kamala Harris, who got no votes in the previous election, none, beat Donald Trump, who has risen to, a status that very few American politicians ever reach. The things that he's been through, the things that he's done, but she beat Donald Trump. She beat RFK Jr., which she couldn't beat Donald Trump or RFK Jr. By herself, or by themselves. And she beat Elon Musk. And, so if you have to sit there and, which you will if she wins, you will have to sit there and wrap your head around that. You'll have to say to yourself, how did it happen? What do the American people do? What do they do? Now, the lizards, the people at the highest positions in government and so forth, the Gateses, the great resetters, the lizards, fundamentally, they want a national emergency. They want a civil war, whatever it is, right? That's what they want. They want you to go, Kamala Harris is president in 2025. I guess it's time to riot. That's what they want, right? We lost another election. It's clearly botched. So we either have one stolen election or two stolen elections. It's time for chaos. What you have to understand is going that route, because there will be a lot of people tempted to go that route. You have to understand that. You can't have an election and say, little girls are going to get raped and killed underneath bridges if we don't stop the border, and know that one candidate will close the border and one candidate won't close the border, and that there'll be gangs running roughshod over your neighborhoods, and expect the American people to do nothing except go, oh, Kamala Harris beat Donald Trump and RFK Jr.? They were on the same ticket? They're on the same team. He's going to run Health and Human Services or whatever. But she beat them out because her and Tim Walz are such a dynamic duo. It's just unbelievable. Her, Tim Walz, and her cross-dressing cohort of cabinet members, undeniably, or perhaps, I don't know. They won. They won the American. And then, what is also scary, this is the other scary part about it. What if she wins? And there is no steal. It'll be almost impossible to prove that to people, because that's where we are now as a country, which is the most dangerous part of it all. What if she wins and everything's on the up and up? This is another dark alley to go down, but it's one we have to think about. So in other words, what if the election was all straight up and down and they find a way to prove that to the American people in a way that everyone is, at least good enough? At least, Donald Trump, RFK Jr., Elon Musk, those three powerhouse human beings were literally outvoted by the mainstream media's influence on the people of this country. And Kamala Harris is president. More Americans voted for Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris. It's only been what, 4 months? From the time that she went from a political laughingstock to where, on both sides of the political spectrum, where they were like, Joe, whatever you do, hang in there, my man. We cannot have Kamala as president. That was both sides. I don't care what you say. There wasn't anybody in the Democrat Party who was like, well, We might as well just get Kamala in there. We might take, you know, she's a highly reputable and effective politician and leader. Not necessarily the fact. Not necessarily the situation, huh? We look out into a landscape where we have to cross paths with our fellow Americans and say to ourselves, there's a 50-50 chance or greater that this idiot in front of me voted for Kamala Harris and the damnation of the country. And when her policies create the kind of chaos and calamity that they will create, we'll have to deal with that. And the worst part and the most dangerous part is that we'll have to look at our fellow Americans and go, I remember you. I remember you had the sign in your front yard. Remember? Remember a couple years ago you had the Harris-Waltz sign in your front yard, so you went to the ballot box and you voted for her? And you and 80 million other lunatics voted for her? And now the apartment complex down the street is a drug den run by a gang from South America? Central America? And now my daughter, who was going to get a scholarship to go to college, has lost her scholarship to a boy that plays on the same team as her. And you voted Kamala Harris because you thought that this was the right thing to do for freedom and women and women's choice and the American way and the American people. But in your heart of hearts, you always knew it was just about, I can't have Donald Trump be president because Jessica Alba told me not to. Because Kim Kardashian told me not to. Because Jennifer Lawrence told me not to. Because Eminem came out and told me Obama's cool and so's Kamala Harris, so I had to pull the blue lever. And it will dramatically affect the way you look at your fellow man. I promise you. It already has happened with Biden. It has already happened with Biden. The average American who looks at Joe Biden and goes, God, he was compromised for years now and nobody said anything. You can't help but get behind the wheel of the vehicle and you get behind a person who has the old Biden-Harris sticker on the car and go, what? What on earth were they thinking? But we have to be smarter, PBN family. We have to be tactical. That's a scary word to use. See, this is a scary topic to discuss because it can be bent and twisted. But I tell you right now, what I'm saying right now, while it may seem, ooh, things could happen, he could be banned, he could be censored for bringing this kind of thing up. Should Kamala Harris win, and there's even a whiff of anything unfair, you'll look back on a podcast like this and say, it's pretty measured. I'm telling you. Because I keep asking myself, how many elections can be questionable? Right? How many elections can be questionable? How many times... And it's not just the elections. You know, it's not like Bush Gore. It's not like, oh, this was no good and the implications are for the American people are going to be devastating now. We're at one of the most important times in history. We're giving birth to artificial intelligence. We have given birth to artificial intelligence. We are in a world war. We have given birth to the most powerful electronic, data-driven, climate change. What is it? Devastating to the climate technology that probably next to oil, if depends on how big it gets, right? That you could give birth to. It's out there. It's alive. It's integrated into people's life. It's going nowhere. Okay? It's going nowhere. that it, when I say it's going nowhere, I mean it's here to stay, right? We're in a world war. We've given another $1 billion into a world war cause. I've told you, we are in a world war. I told you that for years now, at least years. Our defense secretary, I don't know, a month later, 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks, has just realized, we think there's evidence that the North Korean troops are in Russia. Now, this is that's stupid enough, okay? That's stupid enough. That you're that much of a doofus, that's bad enough. We think that we have confirmed evidence that... Everybody knew this 2 weeks ago who listened to PBN. At least 2 weeks. Maybe a month. This is what really blows my mind, though. That first statement's nothing compared to what's next. Lloyd Austin, okay? This is the defense secretary. This is a man who... I don't understand how... It's not necessarily incompetent. You know, I think Michael Savage found the best word to describe the people running the nation. Mediocre. Mediocre. He did a podcast the other day, and it was something like, it had the word mediocre in it, you know? And that's what I think we're dealing with. They're just of moderate quality. Not very good. That's the definition of mediocre. Someone of moderate... Lloyd Austin is just a man of moderate quality for what he's doing. He's a defense secretary of the United States of America, and he comes out and says, what exactly they're doing remains to be seen. These are things that we need to sort out. What do you think they're doing, Lloyd? What do you think they're doing, doofus? What do you mean? What are they, setting up a hot pot for the Russians? They're there to kill Ukrainians. They're taking part in the... They're doing their part in the world war, Lloyd. Lloyd. Come on, man. I mean... mediocre. It's mediocrity, is what it is. It's mediocrity at the highest levels. When we look at... We all had this conversation about incompetence when Trump was the first assassination attempt of Donald Trump, right? We all looked at this and we said, "Is it incompetence or is it you know, did they do it on purpose?" No, you know what it is? This is what it is. It's mediocre people in positions they never deserve to be in. That's what it is. Look, I'll be honest with you. I took on some positions in my career that I was mediocre at, right? I walked into some kitchens and into some organizations and took on some jobs with responsibilities that were vast, and I was too young, and I was mediocre in those jobs. And it shows. It shows, just like it shows now. When you have a defense secretary like Lloyd Austin, remember he disappeared or whatever, had a heart attack, nobody told anybody. A mediocre guy. He didn't call in. He didn't get no heads up. They're mediocre. Maybe the media is not even. Maybe the journalists of today and the mainstream media. No, that's not true. I was going to say maybe the writers are just mediocre, but that's not true. They are a propagandist arm. There's no doubt about it. And I know that because... If you look at ChatGPT, if you look at Google and you ask it the questions that I've been asking it today about elections and about stolen elections and about all that kind of stuff, it's so biased. The search engine is biased and the media is so biased. It's unbelievable, really. But as far as the leadership of the United States, it's got to be some mixture of, you know, mediocrity and hatred, right? Mediocrity and hatred. How boring, huh? How boring for the greatest nation of the world. What a boring, miserable situation to be in, right? We're at this time where we need so much. I mean, at the very least, we need someone who can stop the war, right? And the guy, the defense secretary, who's supposed to be paying the closest attention to this kind of stuff, goes, well, it appears we have North Korean troops in Russia. We got no idea what they're doing over there, but they're over there. What do you think they're doing? What do you think they're doing over there, Lloyd? Give me three answers, okay? Give me three of your best hypotheses on what you think the North Korean troops are doing in Russia. It's a hot pot date. That's all. They're scarfing kimchi with beets and potatoes. PBN family, let's take a quick break so I can catch my breath. I've got a pretty interesting story for you for preppers in the news. And, yeah, I want you to think about this question, truly, because it is something we're going to have to deal with fundamentally, you know?
Maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
PBN family, I want to tell you about PackFreshUSA.com. You're packing food storage up, right? Right. Please tell me. I just released something for the members this morning. You're going to get it. Everybody gets it. Everybody gets a preparedness, repairedness checklist. Everybody's going to get it, but it's going to come out in a few days. In 2022, the tool man wrote up a repairedness checklist for everyone. And it got lost, you know, in all the content. And I found it today, and I brought it back, and I spiffed it up a little bit, and it's coming your way, okay? The reason I bring it up is because now's the time for home maintenance. Now's the time for health maintenance. Now's the time for food storage. Now's the time for preservation. We have a window. I don't know how long that window's going to be open. Kamala Harris wants to come in, and she wants to say, I'm going to fix the food prices. I'm going to fix the food prices, which is, you know, we love that. Capitalists and Americans love it when governments put their hands into the pricing situation of things. You know, the last real big one that I can remember was when Barack Obama said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And the funny thing that happened is that I immediately lost my doctor. Yeah. That was the really interesting part about it. I had a great doctor with a great staff, and as soon as Doofus got off the stage, I wound up losing my doctor. Well, I didn't lose him. I just couldn't afford him anymore because, you know, communism is communism. Socialism is socialism. So what I'm getting at is, You can't control price. You're going to affect the cost of food, the industry in and of itself. And don't forget, well, whatever. PackFreshUSA.com provides you with American-made Mylar bags, oxygen absorbers, vacuum sealers, heat sealers, canning supplies, the whole nine yards. You know what I mean? You know what food preservation is if you're listening to me. You know that you should be bagging up rice, flour, sugar, pasta, lentils, oats, staples. Bagged up in Mylar bags, sealed up, put them in with oxygen absorbers, sealed up, put them in 5-gallon buckets, stack them somewhere, and know that you have calories. No matter what. Know that you have calories. No matter what inflation does, no matter what war does, no matter what Kamala does, you have food. You have sustenance for your family. You know what I'm saying? Now, PackFreshUSA.com just sent me and a bunch of the hosts this incredible bundle of Mylar bags. It's a $54 package Jay Ferg is looking at hers. You might have heard it on L. Douglas Hogan's show on The Rising Republic with Ryan and Doug. Yesterday, Carl B. got his. Everyone's going to be talking about these packs. Like I said, they're $50. You get 100 bags. You get oxygen absorbers for every bag. You get labels for every bag. You get a heat sealer included. You get a food storage guide. All in this pack. It's like 50, I think it's 54 and some change. And then you can pack up food storage, man, all you want. You can pack up food storage. You can pack up freeze-dried foods. You can pack up dehydrated apples, whatever it is you got. You know what I mean? Pack it up for a rainy day. Stick it on a shelf. Understand that you have the power to eat. You have the power to sustain your family, even in the face of a war, even in the face of a president that wants to sink the ship, even in the face of all this chaos. Go to PackFreshUSA.com. Check them out today. American-made preservation, bags, the whole thing, the whole spectrum, okay? If you're thinking about preservation, if you're thinking about DIY food storage, PackFreshUSA.com is the place to be, okay? I kind of favor the long-winded ad. I don't know. This is what it is. When you hit a button on an ad, I think people tune it out. I really do. I think the age of the button ad has to go away. I don't think we're doing justice to all of our great sponsors all the time. Let's talk about the family of Prepper grapples with dilemma. This is kind of an interesting story. Something you don't think about because you're in the midst of it. It's a story by Leo Collis from The Cool Down. Never heard of it. But it says, family of, quote-unquote, prepper grapples with dilemma. I didn't inherit my dad's apocalyptic preoccupation. So, in 2021, Carly Frisbee Brogan wrote a column for The Washington Post about her father, who was 69 years old at the time, living in Oregon. I think I read this article, actually, that they're referring to. And had a house equipped with plastic tubs filled with military MREs, gallons of water, a reflective blanket, and a firearm. I didn't inherit my dad's apocalyptic preoccupation, Frisbee Brogan said. But they observed that the recent extreme weather events including... Wait, but they? Come on, Carly. Jesus, God in heaven. But they observed that the recent extreme weather events, including California Tubbs fire, oh, that was bad, remember that? That burned her mother's house down, had gotten her thinking about her preparation levels. Why is it her and they now? She's her and they? Indeed, while the typical assumption about preppers might be negative, this is a very interesting sentence I read. I want to ask you this question as well. Is the typical assumption about preppers negative? The writer of the article says, indeed, while the typical assumption about preppers might be negative, being ready for the worst elements can throw at you, is getting more important. So my question is, when society hears the word prepper, is it typically a negative assumption? I don't know if that's the case anymore. In fact, Frisbee Brogan escaped to her father's house amid the wildfires in California. He offered the use of his food supplies and survival gear. Prepping under the impression that civilization is going to collapse in the morning perhaps isn't the way to go. But having some essentials ready can make a huge difference as you ride out the storm. I wholeheartedly disagree with this. It's just the wording. Self-reliance and self-sufficiency and prepping is about having the impression that civilization is going to collapse. Even if that collapse is for a week. The trouble is, if you really want to prepare, you have to change your lifestyle, and you can't be a weak prepper. In both words, in both meanings. In other words, you can't prepare for a week and have it be effective, really. I mean, I guess you could stow away a week's worth of meals, a week's worth of gas, a week's worth of water, a week's worth... And, you know, I guess you just hold on to that until you open the weak capsule. But the truth of the matter is, you might not have daydreams about civilization collapsing. You may not have concerns about civilization collapsing. But what you do need to do is build a life and a world that can handle it. Right? And remember, this has kind of been the status quo anyway for a long time. A good supply of fresh water, for example, can be quite literally life-saving. Now, how do you store and procure a good supply of fresh water without really getting into deep prepping? I mean, a couple weeks of fresh water, a good supply, at minimum, right? We're talking about a couple weeks of water. That's an investment in storage space, probably in rain barrels and water catchment, the ability to filter that water, the ability to know how to treat that, all that kind of stuff. If you think a case of water, see, I think people don't understand. I think they think 2 cases of water is enough water to supply you for, you know, the duration of a storm. We have to stop talking ourselves out of prepping as a lifestyle choice. Do you know what I mean? Like, we have to get away from this idea where we can talk ourselves out of preparedness. We have to establish what real preparedness looks like. We have to understand what real preparedness looks like. We have to be able to say to ourselves, real preparedness is an investment in time. It's an investment in things, right? And it is a way of living. It's a way of life. And I shouldn't say, oh, I have a lot of water. I have 2 cases of bottled water in my pantry. So that's a good, what did he say? I clicked out of the article. A good supply of water. It's a headache. Prepping is a headache when you're going for 2 weeks, when you're going for having just enough to guess the duration of the next. First of all, you're guessing the next disaster emergency. Then you're guessing the duration that you're going to be out of service for the next disaster emergency, right? Now you just all the guesswork. You're playing a preparedness lottery, right? So I have my week. I think we're going to have a power outage and a water outage for 1 week exactly, and then when it comes back on, I'm going to be fine. So I got a week of meals, a week of... When you get to making food in your yard, when you get to catching water in your yard, when you get to pooling power from the sun, right, and having the ability to recharge things and refuel things and refuel people and recharge people... and hydrate, and it's all the above, then you're prepared for a broad spectrum of problems. And that's what the American people need. The American people need to be prepared, right now in particular, for a broad spectrum of issues. That's what Surviving America is about right now. Not the show, but the concept. Because at any moment, a petroleum supplier can be hacked by an Iranian hacker and shut the gas pumps down for 2 weeks. We saw it happen with Liberty Pro Petroleum or something like that years ago. Remember the brilliant Kamala Harris voters and Joe Biden voters came out and were putting gasoline in plastic bags to take home. At any moment, we could be thrust into a world war. We can have a Pearl Harbor moment in this nation. Please understand, that's where we're at right now. That's where we're at with Russia. That's where we're at with the terrorist monsters in the Middle East. And that's where we're at with China. Any one of these nations can wake up and decide it's time to make a big move. And it's time to take... And this is Dave Jones' theory, not mine. It's time to take America off the playing board. And that doesn't mean nuke us into oblivion. You know, they don't need to do that. There's very limited amounts of things. Well, one thing they could do is make the American people assume that the election was unfair and have them be at each other's throats. And have enough civil unrest in a country to, you know, negate the nation's ability to intervene in other ways. We have to be prepared for these things, natural disasters and so forth. So take the long-winded journey of preparedness. You know, don't write out a checklist of things and buy those things and then go done and move on. So I return to my former question, PBN family. You wake up, it's late January, it's bitter cold, it's the dead of winter. Kamala Harris is president. What's your game plan? What changes are you likely to make? Right? What do the American people do? And how, you know, even if we keep the peace, which I think is in our best interest, from at least from like a, I'm pissed off, go out and riot, they stole another election, you know, we're pissed and we need to make a difference and we need to raise holy hell. I don't think that's the way to go. There are actions that will need to be taken. I think probably one of the most important and one of the simplest would be to enact legislation that levels the playing field. At the very least. At the very least, if there's even a whiff of, well, the early voting was a little weird, you know, like 90% of the early votes were for Kamala. Or the counting took longer than normal as we tallied up the votes and burnt all the Trump votes. You know what I mean? Whatever. If there's a whiff. If there's a whiff. At the very least. Legislation and both sides, because the Democrats love democracy so much, both sides should enact the legislation. This should be a bipartisan issue that levels the playing field in terms of politics in news, politics in entertainment, politics and sports, right? We have not had a level playing field for the Republicans. I mean, it's amazing they ever win. When you look at the Daily Show, you look at Saturday Night Live, you look at all the nightly shows, you look at all the TV shows, you look at all the news stations, you look at everything that spews out of the television. You look at all the sports, you look at the things inscribed on the NFL football fields, right? You look at the most influential people who get the covers of every magazine in the United States and the things they have to say about Donald Trump and the things they have to say about Republicans and the things they have to say about mean old white men. And you say to yourself, when have the elections been fair? You know what I mean? That's what I say. I said this post January 6th. I said, you know, January 6th was not as much about Donald Trump as people think. January 6th is about a group of people who have been kicked while they're down and forced to live in this society where everything that they hold dear is demonized by the most powerful and influential people in the media. And they hear it on TV, they hear it on the radio, they hear it on the phone, they hear it, they open a computer and they see it. You're wrong. The people you idolize or support are demons and monsters and the worst of the worst, and that's it. So if anyone wants to really heal the nation, then we have to start by leveling the playing field. We have to take politics out of things. There's no politics talk in colleges. There's no politics talk in news and sports, and I hear you. I hear you. All of a sudden, you're, ooh, First Amendment. First Amendment, right? Well, no. I think there needs to be regulations on representation in terms of the news. If not, then call them something other than the news. They have to go into a different category. You know what I mean? If they're taking government money, if they're taking pharmaceutical company money, they're not news anymore. And we have to take them out of the category of news. We need a new news program. It's that simple. It can't be biased. It can't be 100% biased 365 days out of the year. And then, you know, once every 4 years, we go to the polls and pretend like this is fair. We go to the polls and pretend like everybody's had a fair shake. The unions, the media, the, you know, everybody's had a fair shake. And we go to the polls and the Americans know in their heart of hearts, those Americans who vote Republican know in their heart of hearts that they've had, I mean, this has been one of the best years for it because of the alternative media, but prior to alternative media, like, yeah, you've got by on the skin of your teeth. And this is what radical movements that no one really wants require. They require this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, we need this. Let's make sure. Let's make sure that 95% of the Trump news that goes out is negative. Let's pull all the quotes that we can that may be true or may not be true. Doesn't matter. Just put them out there. What will you do, PBN family? What will you do if you wake up to find that in late January 2025, Kamala Harris is president? It's something we have to prepare for. We have to look at what kind of destruction she'll lay upon us all and how we prepare for it. And then we have to think smart, nonviolent strategies to assure that America remains America. America can't be America with compromised elections. America can't be America with a compromised media, with influencers and influential people and celebrities all on one side, all on one side of the beam. And the other side is just, you know, afloat there. It's just a wing and a prayer. Thank you for joining me, folks, for Surviving America. I do appreciate you. Enjoy your day, okay? It's going to be a wonderful day. It's a wonderful life. We just have to keep the wolves from tearing it limb from limb. Talk to you soon. What if I told you you could own land for $200 down and highly affordable monthly payments? Yourcheapland.com is your answer to bug out land, hunting, recreation, and whatever else your prepper mind can dream up. Yourcheapland.com has properties in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Oklahoma, Arizona, Utah. Go to yourcheapland.com, check out the properties, use the promo code PBN, and get $100 off your purchase.
Thank you for listening to the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. Tune in tomorrow for another great show and visit us at PrepperBroadcasting.com.